Okay, I believe we are live. I hope we're live.
That's exciting.
Okay, here we go. So, Tom Robbins once wrote, "A sneeze travels at a peak velocity of 200 miles per hour. A burp, more slowly. A fart, slower yet. But a kiss, thrown by fingers, its departure is sudden. Its arrival ambiguous, and there is no source that can state with authority what speeds are reached in its flight. My name is Swan, and I'm here at Radio Free Brooklyn, blowing you kisses. We're recording live from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop, and our theme, appropriately, is introduction. So a quick shout-out, if you're listening, introduce yourself to me. What are you reading? What are you writing? Who are you? What are you about? I'm Twitter, Facebook, email, all ink and worm, all lowercase, pretty easy. And introductions continue with my guests, Ilya and Susan. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, so I did intros and you guys have no idea what I'm going to say. So no. If something's wrong,
it's very exciting.
Tell me, because we want to make sure that... That was sudden. We want to make sure that we're getting accurate information. So Susan is a maker and the mastermind behind the Bushwick Book Club, which began in January of 2009 and now has chapters in Seattle and Malmö, Sweden. Is it Malmö?
Malmö.
Malmö?
Yeah.
I'm
sure it
Sweden.
Sounds different in Swedish. You know,
yeah.
I have a terrible American accent.
Yeah,
in Sweden.
Likewise.
In Swedish. Malmö. It's
yeah.
called Malmö.
Perfect. Anyways, the point is it's an amazing program that fuses books with music. So every month-ish, you pick a book, and local artists will make and perform songs based on that book, which is really exciting. And you're also a part of five bands?
Something like that.
So I found a debutante hour, the Realistics.
The Relastics.
Relastics.
We're not very realistic at all.
Relastics. Main Squeeze Orchestra, Murderizer.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Oh, okay. My God. And Murderizer was also a long time ago. But I did perform with them, certainly, yeah. Murderizer was why I came to New York City.
Oh.
Besides that and, like, not having anything else better to do.
That's why I came, Adventure.
Yeah, sure.
Specifically. And shortly thereafter met Ilya.
Oh, great.
Who is...
It's actually Ilya.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
That's okay. Everybody mispronounces it. It's Ilya. It's
Ilya.
Yep.
Names. Yes. Ilya is an award-winning musician. You may have heard her in Sweet Soubrette, it's pronunciation, and Charming Disaster, Codorino, Funkrust Brass Band.
Funkrust.
Funkrust. And she... also composed for the web series Smart Actress, is that a thing?
I wrote their theme song. It's a web series. the theme goes, "You're a smart actress." That's the theme. But then I wrote a whole song to sort of build around that. So if people really liked that theme song, they could get a whole version of it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I also, through my Google stalking, found that you are... co-founder of the vaudeville series Super Fun Variety and a board member of Bindlestiff Family Circus.
That is correct.
Longtime participant in the Bushwick Book Club, and you co-host Murder Ballad Mondays at Branded Saloon once a month.
Yes, also Branded true. Saloon. That's a new project, and that's pretty exciting.
Great. And here we are. Introductions are made.
Yay!
We did it.
Do you want us to
good
talk about
Google
what we're
stalking.
Reading? Yeah, it's interesting to
very
find
good.
Out what happens when people just research it.
Spontaneous discovery. Yeah. So I actually would like to start by talking. You have an artist residency.
Yes, that just happened.
Congratulations.
Thank
I read
you.
About that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
So Jeff Morris, who's my art partner in Charming Disaster, he and I applied to residency at a place called Island, which is not actually on an island. It's in Michigan. It stands for the Institute for Sustainable Agriculture something. I will learn this. But they granted us a two-week residency where we will work on songwriting for 2 weeks in a cabin in the deep woods in the middle of the winter in northern Michigan, which sounds like the setup to a horror movie. But that kind of it kind of dovetails perfectly with our subject matter. So as long as one of us makes it out alive, we'll get some good material out of it, I think. But we're excited about having some uninterrupted time to work. It's always a challenge, especially in New York, when you have a lot of bands and a job and a lot of projects and, you know, you try to, like, make dinner once in a while. It's nice to have some focus time to work on
new material. How long
is it again? 2 weeks.
Oh,
I know.
Wow.
We might die.
Two weeks.
I know. We're like, all right, there's bears, there's frostbite, there's hypothermia, there's killing each other with axes.
Oh, it's so exciting.
There's just deciding to take a nap in the snow. There's, yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, never mind your supernatural hazards. Wendigo and whatnot.
Two weeks seems like a good time for you to be gone because you're a busy lady. You guys both are. I'm very impressed with what you're doing, if that makes sense.
There's a lot of it. Yeah. And, it's...
Gotta do something.
Yeah, what else are you gonna do with your life?
I know. May as well do a million things at the same time. What the hell?
Yeah. Busy. New York is busy. I moved here 6 months ago, so I'm
from
learning...
Where?
From Utah. So I'm learning how to be calm amidst the storm, you could say. Well, let's talk about what you guys have been reading. Anything recent that stands out?
I just started Sarah Vowell's new book about Lafayette.
Oh, how is that?
Yeah, it's good. I just started it, though. But honestly, I haven't read as much of it because I'll have it in my bag. And then I'm like, oh, man, I've got these shoes in here, and I've got this, and I got this. And, I'm like, I can't carry the books too heavy. So
is it hardback?
No, it's paperback,
too. It's just a lot.
And I'm just like, ah. So I haven't read as much of it, you know. But that's the latest thing. And then the previous book that I completed was for our Bushwick Book Club show with in conjunction with the Book Riot Convention, and one of their authors, one of their panelists, her name is Lucy Neasley, and she's a comic book artist, and she wrote this comic book about her experiences with food. And it contains recipes, and so it's like a comic book cookbook. And it was so interesting. It was really great. So that's the last one that I completed. Yeah,
cool.
That was really fun.
I've been on a Kate Atkinson kick. I recently read A God in Ruins, having read Life After Life, and loved God in Ruins. She's pretty prolific. She's written a bunch of, like, detective novels, but also has written these more kind of experimental fiction works. So, and I'm kind of a completist sometimes, especially if I really like an author. So I've been just sort of going through her books using the Brooklyn Public Library's ebook loan system, which is amazing because once your loan is up, it just disappears from your phone or device, and then you don't owe lots of fines, which is my usual method. So I just finished A God in Ruins, and then I read Human Croquet, and I just finished Emotionally Weird. I'm a really fast reader and kind of compulsive about
it. That's so cool.
But it's like I'm either in a book or I'm not in a book, if that makes any sense. I'm reading it, I'm just reading it constantly, and then it's over, and then I do the next thing. So Kate Atkinson, and I also just read for that same Book Riot event for the book club, I read Margaret Atwood's The Blind Assassin, which was amazing. So I just read another Atwood as well, which was the Penelopeiad, which is the story of the Odyssey told through Penelope's point of view.
Ooh.
And it's really playful and cool, and I totally recommend it. It's really good.
That's so cool.
And we saw Margaret, and she
we met her.
So funny.
What was that like?
And so great.
She was like, it was like watching a Jedi master or something. You know how people who have like great mastery of their craft are just so generous because they don't have anything to prove?
Right.
She was like that. She was like playful and funny and warm and like, you know, expansive in talking about like personal anecdotes. She said she always tries to get the science right in her books because she has an older brother who's a biologist who reads all her books and then like gives her notes.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so awesome.
She was so funny and great.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's neat that she can relate to people in that kind of easy way and also write these amazing books.
Because
some people, have that, but they're not able to relay it to people or talk about it with people.
Yeah, and reading her books, too, like, she has such a formidable intelligence, and you might just think that she would be this sort of intimidating person. And, like, while she is, like, obviously somebody you owe a great deal of respect to, she she was just like so generous with her.
That's so cool.
Self.
That's
cool. That was cool.
And you might not know this one, but Elia is an amazing reader. Like an amazing reader of Margaret Atwood, not just in the sense that she reads, you know, Margaret Atwood and enjoys it and reads it very fast, but she she did a reading of an excerpt from Blind Assassin during the Bushwick Book Club show at the Living Room, and it was just – it was so captivating. It was riveting. Elia,
you
were so good. You just like dropped yourself, you know, in all the different roles and in the, you know, the narrator position too. And it's great.
Between you and me, I had a little practice with that because when Charming Disaster was on tour last month, and I was reading that book then, and while we were driving these long stretches,
you'd read aloud to
each other. I would read to when Jeff was driving. I would read to him from the Blind
Assassin.
That is
so fun.
So I had read that passage before and knew how good it was.
That's so cool. I did that once with a friend with The Unbearable Lightness of Being. We were driving across country, and we would read that aloud to each other. That was so fun. Now you're making me want to get a car again.
I know, but you got to find really straight paths. Otherwise, like, I get really car sick.
Of course.
Mountainous train.
Yeah, can't do that.
Not for reading.
Not for reading.
Sickness, no.
Yeah. I have this announcement really fast, so let's read this and see what it says, and then that can be checked off. We are announcing Alborough Holiday Scavenger Hunt launching next Saturday, November 28th. That's the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. Between November 28th and December 12th, listen to Radio Free Brooklyn for clues on where to find scavenger hunt items at local businesses throughout the Brooklyn. The person who collects the most items will win the grand prize of a brand new Mossy single speed bicycle from the Velo Brooklyn bike shop upstairs, which is pretty
cool.
So cool. Oh, that's really cool.
So if you need a bike or know someone that needs a bike or
this
you're just
is Brooklyn, you need a
competitive
bike.
Person, you should invest some time. Would
you
like to win something? Two runner-up prizes and swag awarded daily, but you have to play to win. Prizes will be awarded during Radio Free Brooklyn's holiday party at Beast of Bourbon, which will be on 710 Myrtle Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, Saturday, December 12th, 2 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Oh my God, it sounds really fun. I really want to
know. More details to come. So.
That's what I love about the holidays, all the parties.
Yeah, so we're having some events and things happening. That's fun.
That
I didn't know about that until now.
I like how this show just unfolds and like we all discover what's happening as it happens. It's exciting.
Well,
it's very improv.
And later we can talk about things that are happening. There's so many readings that happen in the city.
Yeah.
I'm a little overwhelmed. I want to revisit the public library
because
it's not only like no fines because they just like make it disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Very extensive library and so easy. You're like, search this book, click, I can start reading now.
Yeah, I
that's so cool.
I read a lot on my phone because of like how fast I churn through stuff and also because of the carrying a lot of stuff around all the time.
I haven't done that yet. What kind of phone you have?
I just have an iPhone and I have the Kindle app.
Is it the new iPhone?
It's like not the new one. It's like
okay, I have
one,
a 4S.
I was doing it on the 4S.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing it on the 4S.
If you have a smartphone, it's the Kindle app.
Yeah.
Maybe I just need to get glasses.
Yeah, that can be a challenge. But you can increase the type size.
Yeah, you can make the font as big as you want.
Right, thanks, guys.
Yeah,
this is going to help me in my reading.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, like, they do have a good collection. And, you know, certain things are in demand, and so you have to wait a little while. But then you just get an email when it's available, and you click the button, and there it is on your phone. It's like magic. It's like the future.
It is like the future. It's so good. I want to hear more about your guys' journey and especially the Bushwick Book Club because while it seems like this brilliant idea, you were kind of like the first to actually like build a thing. Where was that from? What did that?
It was when I used to work at Goodbye Blue Monday and I was trying to develop a show that would bring people out there. And what I like are new songs. I like original songs. There's nothing more exciting than the new song. I think new songs took over when I quit photography because I used to like getting the photos developed, you know, back in print days and then looking at the prints and then that would give me that feeling of like, oh, Christmas, you know. and then things went digital so I had to find another medium because you don't get the same feeling and I think that might be the new song, you know. You get the new song, you're like, oh, Christmas, you know. And And so I was developing a theme night, and I just started writing songs about zombies, and I watched a lot of zombie movies and started writing about those narratives, and I thought, oh, this is really fun. Would people write, you know, about books in response to books? And I thought, you know, that's a lot to ask of a songwriter. I thought nobody would do it. I thought, like, no one wants homework. No one wants, like, this is hard sometimes, you know. It's not easy to, like, you know, sit there and, you know, and see what comes out. It's scary, you know, because, you know, if you're afraid that nothing will come out, you know. But I guess that's, you know, depending on everyone's predisposition. But but it turns out, like, people aren't as scared as I thought, and people really like the challenge. And so more and more songwriters, they come and they want to participate, and they want to see what happens when you read a book and you decide to create something in response to it. And now it's not only songwriters, it's visual artists. We have a chef, Ori Cosentino, who's also a visual artist, and she contributes both food and visual art inspired by the book. Inspired by books, and also we have dancers involved. Jesse Lewis Arts, she's a dance company, mm-hmm. and she contributed to our Tree Grows in Brooklyn show at Superfine, and also Andrew Giannetti, yeah, and we've had other dancers and performance artists, poets also contribute. So it's really fun.
Yeah, and growing. Do you know when your next event will be?
We are planning our first taping of the first Bushwick Book Club TV show.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's going to be at Manhattan Neighborhood Network. And I know that's not Brooklyn, but it's a long story. But that's where we're taping this thing. And that's going to be on December 3rd, and we would love a live audience. So if anybody wants to come and be in the room while we're taping this, that would be awesome, because I'm trying to get Ori to make some hors d'oeuvres for this.
Yeah.
So you could get, you know, you could munch on something while you're there.
It's compelling.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Compelling.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm
you know,
glad
people
I'm...
will do a lot for, you know,
hors d'oeuvres.
Free
food.
Hors d'oeuvres. Yeah.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
In their mouth. That's our next thing. And then our next show in 2016, every January we do Vonnegut as inspiration for new songs.
Yeah.
And because Goodbye Blue Monday, where we started, that's the alternate title for Breakfast of Champions. Mm-hmm. So we have a Vonnegut connection, and every January we honor that. And
nice.
This time it's going to be at Counter Revolution. That's the venue. And that venue is actually a furniture showroom in the day and also event space at night. And the owner of that venue is a Vonnegut nut. And so
wow.
I was like, this is perfect.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you reveal what the book is going to be yet?
I would if I knew what it was. I was going to ask Jim, the owner, what, you know, he would suggest. But if you have a suggestion, Elia, let me know.
I feel like we've done all the
Maybe
ones.
Maybe player today. Piano? Is that one?
That's one.
Right? I don't know. We haven't done that.
Well, don't you know?
I have.
You
yeah.
don't need to commit yet.
Okay,
I just was curious if this was a known thing.
Yeah, if you want to email me, anyone wants to email me, it's a Vonnegut suggestion. Please do.
To Bushwick Book Club.
Bushwick
Book Club.
Bushwick Book of the Month Club.
Right. Right.
At gmail.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I've been doing Bushwick Book Club with you since April of 2010.
Nice.
Maybe nine? Yeah, because it started in 2009,
it
right?
It started in 2009.
So I've been doing it since April of 2009. Not every month, but like frequently. And it's been really interesting seeing the waves of regulars sort of come in and out. Like, like there are people who have been kind of like steady faces on the scene since the beginning, and people kind of come in and out. And I come in and out too. But
yeah.
But I was going through my files, and I've written 36 songs for book club since 2009, and that's like a lot of material.
That's a lot of songs about books.
It's a lot of songs about books, and I'm so grateful for the book club for so many reasons. Like, it is so helpful to have an assignment and a deadline and a sense of peer pressure in a supportive way, and to have people who start to know your work and vice versa. You know, there are a handful of people I'm like, oh, great, like Nicole's in the book club this month. I love her songs. Her songs are always great. Or Hillary Downs has become a real favorite of mine,
right.
And she's kind of a new face.
Right.
And like that's so great and helpful. And it's made me a better reader, you know, because you really have to like engage with the work in an active way and not just sort of passively receive it, because you have to come up with with some kind of response to it, and you can't just let it wash over you. And so as a reader, it's been a really cool thing, too.
In order to respond, you have to engage.
But the thing that I value the most about the practice, it's become almost a spiritual practice for me in a way, because there's this, you were talking about the fear that nothing's going to come out. And the thing about book club is that it doesn't really matter if it's good. I mean, of course, you want it to be good. But, like, the point is that you have something that's done, that's finished, and that you can perform because you're going to show to people. And so I have learned to trust that there will be a thing.
Right.
And that feels like a really important practice as a creator to learn how to trust yourself.
Something's going to come out. It's going to come out.
Like, and every time it's kind of the same. I'm like, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to write about, but I know that there's going to be a thing. Like right now it's point A and there's not a thing. And I know that there's going to be a thing at some point, but before Tuesday when the show is. And then there's this sort of mystery moment.
Yep.
And then after the mystery moment, there's a thing, or there's the beginning of a thing.
Yep.
And, like, you can't quite put your finger on
the mystery
moment.
People always ask me, how do you write a song, or where do songs come from? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Every time, I don't know. Yeah.
So it's been like, as a maker, it's been a really useful thing to learn how it feels. You know, like, I like to use athletic, like, sporting metaphors because I'm not an athlete and I just think it's funny. You know, it's like, it's like when you're learning to hit a baseball, like, you need to, like, know what it feels like in your body when it, like, happens the right way. Uh-huh. That's what book club is for me. It's like learning how it feels when you trust that a thing is going to happen.
Uh-huh. And knowing that it can happen, you know, no matter what you're experiencing at the time, like, sometimes they come out real easy and they come out as you're falling asleep on the train and you're like, oh, there's a chorus, you know? And then sometimes you beat yourself over the head about it. I mean, I prefer not to do it that way, but sometimes that happens and you're just like, this is, oh, God. And you just reevaluate everything in your life and everything comes up short and you're just like, oh, and then there's the song at the end.
Right. Or you're like,
a song is going to come out.
Yeah. Or like, you're like chipping away, like, bit by bit. Like, there's a thing in that block of marble and, like, it's just going to be like an agonizing process of, like, getting away all the stuff that's not the thing. But, like, in the end, there's the thing.
Yeah, there's the thing.
Yeah. There's the thing. Well, I really like what you said about it being a response. I think about books as conversations, but more so as listeners, because as they're presenting new information, they give you space to think, and they're not going to cut you off. And it's also something I've been noticing a couple of authors mention is somebody will come up and be like, oh, I loved the part in your book where this happened, and then she did this, and the author's like, I didn't write that. That's not in my book. But that conversation that that person had with the book, like, that's what happened, and that's what they pulled from it, because that was their experience. That was their relationship, their reaction. I think that's a really fascinating thing in terms of making a song, because you're going to pull out not only the conversation you had with that book, but then you're going to make a thing out of it, which is really fascinating.
It's so interesting to see how different the songs are that come out in response to a single work of literature, too. Like, everybody's approach is so different, and what speaks to each person in a book is so different. Like, I really get warm fuzzies about it. I'm like, oh, like, we really are all unique snowflakes. Like, and there's no and there's no wrong way. Like, there's no wrong way to have that relationship.
Right. Yeah. What I love is that you don't even have to like the book in order to write a song that you really like in response to it. It's, sometimes it's even easier.
Because you just, you focus on the things that bug you.
Yeah. Or you do, and also you don't feel any responsibility towards the book. Mm-hmm. You just feel like, oh, you're just focusing on what you're making.
Yeah.
And sometimes, what is a song that was your experience where you didn't like the book, but you wrote a song that came out well? Do you know?
I can't really say because I don't want to offend the author.
Oh.
I can name a couple.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't especially enjoy Madame Bovary.
Oh, that's all. Yeah, I was just going to say, he's dead. I didn't enjoy Madame Bovary either. I didn't like the character, but I really enjoyed the songs I wrote for it.
I liked writing the song. Actually, writing the song made me feel differently about the character and the book after I wrote it.
I gave that challenge to myself, too, as I was writing those songs. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to get as close as I can to this character who I naturally do not like and see what happens. And speak from her perspective, even though I don't like this character. And I really like the songs.
And it made me think more about the book than I would have done, you know, like outside of like a classroom situation.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that was a good one. Mm. And I didn't especially enjoy Henry and June by Anais Nin. Mm-hmm. her sort of performative sexuality and her sense of thrilling discovery and her own liberation, I found a little boring, but and it rubbed me the wrong way in a lot of places. Although, you know, I admire her as like a historical figure and like a lady artist maker. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I think I admire her very much, but I didn't especially enjoy the book. But that song was one of the best songs I've done.
Right. And you made that incredible video.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it was so fruitful. And
interesting. That's for me, a lot of like people exploring, I don't know, sexual like transitions or whatever is, it's either like, oh, I like this, or like, I just like not into it. It's very strong reaction. It seems like one of those things where it's polarized. When somebody writes something, you either like resonate or you're like, nope.
And you might even resonate with it at a different time in your life.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That definitely happens. Yeah, I've been, so part of like preparing for this show, I've been trying to read all the books, which is impossible.
But, you're so ambitious.
What have you been reading? And what are you reading?
Yeah. What am I reading? Well, let me finish my thought because otherwise it's going to escape me. So part of the challenge I gave myself was to finish a lot of books and then to reread a book a week and to read a book about writing a week, because I felt like, you know, that would help me. And I'm going back and rereading these books, and it's the first time I've done that. And I think that it's made me more comfortable with the label of a reader, because before I just like ate it and then I was done and I was like, no, I read that and I liked it or I didn't like it. But like rereading it, it's a different story. It's a different relationship. It's a different conversation. I'm reading, let me grab it because I don't remember the title. Mm. The first one's called The Art of Learning. That's what I'm reading right now.
And that's about writing, I assume, The Art of Learning.
Okay. Thanks for filling space. So I'm reading The Art of Learning, which is by Josh Watson, which is like that chess prodigy guy that Searching for Bobby Fischer, all that stuff. And he talks about how just how he was this prodigy, but then years later stepped back and looked at the process of how he became that and broke down the learning like parallels and what he did when he was playing chess and what he did when he was doing martial arts and like how he mastered those concepts, which is really interesting. I'm on like a brain kick. The second book I just finished is called The Five Elements of Effective Thinking by two mathematicians, Edward B. Berger and Michael Starbird. It was amazing. It talks about a similar thing, just like how to learn materials. So he talks about learning in terms of the elements, which is kind of fascinating. He talks about
like the periodic table of elements, or like earth, air, fire, water.
Earth, air, fire, water. So I'll just do really fast. Earth, he talks about grounding your thinking, understanding deeply. Giving a parallel to math, if you don't make 100 on the test, you shouldn't move on to the next test. Like, you need to master this information, and then you can build on it. Which I was like, oh, that's makes sense. That's why I probably got lost somewhere in math. And then second is fire. He talks about igniting insights through mistakes. Fail to succeed. Don't, like, he's like, fail. This four-letter F word. So derogatory that we don't. But fail and then learn and, like, look at what's wrong with something. And again, in math, like, you're looking at the problem and you're like, that's not the right answer. Okay, go back and see why. Why? What step am I missing? What could I do differently? Air is creating questions out of thin air. Be your own Socrates. Question things, which I really like. That's like the first thing in philosophy, and I think that's where some of our schools have failed us. My experience is I never questioned a lot of things, especially as a kid. You're like, okay, that's how it is, instead of understanding concepts and pushing back and then seeing what stands and what falls over. And then water is seeing the flow of ideas, looking back, looking forward. And then they talk about the quintessential element, which is change. Engaging change, transforming yourself. So, really great short read. I read it in a day.
Yeah, it's an attractive looking,
that would fit
slim
in my
little
bag.
Volume.
Yeah.
And they're like no pressure. But we highly recommend you read it 3 times. First, just read it. Second, read it and do the things. Third, read it and like make it yours. Like change it. And I was like, So now I have to read books three times. I'm just kidding. But I really liked both of them and highly recommend them to people who want to engage with their thinking and with their learning process. So.
Are you going to have a show notes section for
Absolutely.
This with books that we talk about?
For you and for listeners, I will do like a newsletter type thing, cool. maybe an email, but when the show releases. So mm-hmm. we're doing this live, and then next Friday it will release as a podcast, cool. and that's when I'll send out, here's the books we talked about, here's the songs I played, here's other resources we mentioned. So,
cool.
Yeah, hopefully that becomes a thing, talking about things.
Yay!
This is Ink and Worm. We're live at Radio Free Brooklyn, recording in the basement of the Velo Brooklyn Bike Shop, which is really fun. I'm talking with Susan and Elia. That E sound.
It's like Ellie with an extra syllable.
And that's
end.
How...
You know, it's not so bad.
Ellie.
Elia.
Elia.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie, Elia. Mm-hmm. Names. I'm working on it. Also, speaking of events in New York, Book Court has things every night. It's a really great bookstore. And I wrote down a bunch. I don't know that I want to read them all, but just a shout out. There's things pretty much every day of the week there. Greenlight Books is having Luke Sante presenting The Other Paris in conversation with Ted Hamm. That will be on Monday, so tomorrow. If you're so inclined, take a look. Also, check out your local bookstore. Let's support these great stores all over Brooklyn. We have a lot of them. We're very blessed that way.
It's true. There's Housing Works. I always like to shout them out. And also Word Bookstores in Greenpoint. And now they're also in, I think it's Hoboken. They have another location in New Jersey.
Yeah. Housing Works isn't doing any events this week, I checked. But amazing, beautiful bookstore, and you introduced me to them, which
it's
is so
a
great.
Wonderful place. Yeah, we saw Kate Beaton there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. Kate Beaton of Hark a Vagrant.
Yeah, she was brilliant, and I love that we were at Book Riot Live, and Margaret Atwood did a shout out to her, didn't she?
Did she?
I think in her second conversation.
I only saw the one.
The first. Yeah. And she said that, and half the audience was like, yes! It was really great. Great. Well, I want to shift gears into writing, and I'll start with a story. When I met you, I was at Murder Ballad Mondays, mm-hmm. and I was sitting, listening to all these wonderful songs about murder and, you know, a lot of people dying. And you race in with... an accordion.
Uh-huh. That would be me.
And when your time came up, you said, I think that's like the fastest anyone's made it from somewhere to here on a bike with an accordion.
Yeah, from Bushwick to,
Where
was that?
Branded.
Was
like Branded.
To Branded Saloon.
Yeah. And then you delivered this wonderful song later. Mm-hmm. Were asked when you wrote it, and you were like a couple hours ago.
Well, not exactly. I'd been working on it for a few days.
But you're a wizard.
I was just practicing, practicing in my room as I was, preparing for the show. And because I thought it was like 2 hours later than it was, uh-huh. I got the time of the show wrong. And I was like, oh, I have plenty of time. I'm just going to run this and run this song, run it. And then Elia texts me. And she's like, are you coming to the show? I'm like, yeah, it's at 10, right? She's like, no, it's at 8. And I'm
wonder.
Ah!
So I had that same issue last week. I was like, oh, it's at 10. And
the
it was
the problem
at
is
8.
That, see, most shows in New York are 1 hour in length. Mm-hmm. And so if you post that a show is at 8 o'clock, people assume that it ends at 9. And this show is a two-hour show. So we've been posting that it's 8 to 10. And I think people are just seeing the 10.
Oh.
Like 10 is a more memorable
number. Well, it's like at the end of the phrase. So we may change our signage for that on social media so that people just know that it starts at 8.
Yeah.
But we're lucky to have a two-hour block. And we don't want people to think that if it's 9 o'clock, they shouldn't come. They should still come. There's still half a show left.
I came for the last song last time.
Yeah,
and
even
so
that
glad
is worth
I came.
It, right?
Totally worth it, 100%. But you are a wizard because you write lots of songs for your Bushwick Book Club and your other bands.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's talk about the process.
First you have to give yourself permission to write the worst song ever. And that's what I usually do. That's where I start. And I'm like, this can completely suck. No problem. And then you go from there. I mean, with the book club, you know, it's easy because you know what you're working from. So you experience the book and then you see like which parts inspire you the most or what parts you're thinking about the most. Mm-hmm. I do like Elia does, an underline, highlight sections that I like, and then I'll go back and type out my notes if I have time, and then look over my notes, and then sometimes you'll see, you know, phrases and ideas, and just mm-hmm. and then I'll respond to what I'm reading, just my notes, and then I'll look at my responses, and then stuff happens, and from a mysterious place that I can't define, and then mm-hmm. but often for me, songs start with words. Sometimes, you know, there'll be like a feeling or a groove or a beat that I want to incorporate, and so it can start that way too. And sometimes it's like, oh, I've never written a song about this thing before, and maybe I'll do that. Or, oh, I've never tried beatboxing before, so I'll do that. You know, I like trying things I haven't done before. So if I haven't done it, that's like usually where I'll go.
Nice. I like, maybe that's why I've never started writing songs, because I haven't given myself permission to write the worst.
Yeah.
That seems really liberating to just...
And some of them actually become the worst song ever. That's fine. Here's my terrible little child.
Jack Black had his song. It's like, this is the best song ever, but it happened. And do you guys know that song?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. It's his band name, but I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's Jack Black. And he's singing about how he wrote the best song ever, but then it was lost. And he can't prove it to anyone. All I can say is, like, I wrote the best song ever, because here's where it happened, and here's, like, it was a funny song. So just do that in reverse, and maybe you'll become mm-hmm. a songwriter. What is your process?
Well, it's funny. My process is not entirely different from Susan's process, in that I like to write songs that are about things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that starts from an external prompt, like the book club or some other assignment. And sometimes I set myself an assignment, like... Charming Disaster songs are all kind of within a sort of set of parameters. They're all duets that tell a story and about two people in trouble, and that's a co-writing project. But we'll start with like, oh, let's write a song about, you know, two people who've murdered somebody and they don't know what to do about it, or, you know, a living woman and a ghost who are in love. I mean, it starts with like a topic. And for my own songs, for Sweet Soubrette and for other projects, sometimes it starts with a thing that bothers me or just sort of pops into my mind. Like right now on my to-do list for songwriting, you know, I don't know if this will actually turn into something, but I like the idea of a perpetual motion machine. Mm-hmm. And so I've been sort of collecting like phrases or ideas that sort of go with that, like... you know, vicious cycle, perpetual motion, like things that sort of breed other things. Hmm. So that sometimes it starts there for me, but it is very lyrics oriented. And I have, I write the music and lyrics for Sweet Soubrette and Charming Disaster. Always, also, it's, you know, it's together. But Funk Rust Brass Band, my partner, he composes arrangements for a big brass band, and then I write the lyrics. So he sort of tells me, he's like, oh, here, there's another one. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, what's this about? And he'll just like sort of see, he says it's random. He's like, oh, it's about when the robots take over. And I'm like, okay, I can work with that. And then, you know, that I like parameters. I like some sort of set of limitations to work within, but it is very verbal for me.
And you introduce songs with the story behind it sometimes, I know, from going to shows. And it's always, like, this fun little, like, and this is about... I'm trying to think of one. The knife thrower and his lovely assistant.
For Sweet Soubrette, I do that, too, although those songs are more personal. And my violinist, who's a very dear friend of mine since we were little kids, she gives me a lot of feedback on my stage banter. And she's encouraged me over time to, like,
be a little less withholding about sort of where the songs really come from. And so I've opened up a bit over the years where I'll be like, this is actually where this actually came from, you know,
which
I like to be like, well, it's all in the song, like, you know, yeah, figure it out.
You're like, I wrote it. It's...
if I could just tell it to you, I wouldn't have to write a song about it.
Well, I think that as an observer and an experiencer, it definitely adds elements that I take home. I remember you writing a story and this phrase, like, green lights all the way down Second Avenue, has just, like, stuck with me. So I think that conversation before and after the song can also be lyrical in that sense.
Oh, that's nice.
Sometimes I like telling the story before the song better than performing the song. That's happened, where I'm like, I'm really enjoying the story. And then I play the song, and I'm like, ugh.
Do you get tired of playing your songs?
No, but sometimes, like, in the performance, you know, I'll get to in my head or something, and I'll think, oh, I'm not really in this song, and they're not, oh, God, this is not happening the way I wanted it to. And then, you know, you get down on it, you know. But engaging with the audience, you know, prior to the song and telling the story was easy and fun.
It makes me so happy that you mentioned the green lights down Second Avenue thing, because that was a line that was part of my sort of notes for that song that uh-huh. didn't make it into the song. It just didn't fit. And a lot of the songwriting process for me also is just like eliminating, yeah, killing the babies.
Yeah.
So, but that is sort of part of the like secret, like, you know, I mean, you hear about novelists writing a lot of things about their characters that don't mm-hmm. make it into the book because
kind of toothpaste they use.
Yeah, like all these things that really inform their knowledge of like how the characters behave. And there's some of that in the songs for me too, like stuff that, you know, or even like the original title of the song that the band mm-hmm. maybe knows it as, but you know, it now is a real title and nobody
yeah.
will ever know.
I
that
usually have like five titles for a song.
Yeah. I like that a lot because it does that editing process. Having to like, oh, this isn't working, and then you take it out and it does, and you're like, but there's still that good phrase, that good idea,
kill
waiting
it
for something else in the future, perhaps.
I think of it as a sacrifice on the altar.
You're like, thank you for feeding my songs. Here's this piece back.
Yeah, the muse demands something. The Margaret Atwood song I wrote for book club, there were like many more verses to that mm-hmm. just had to come out. It was mm-hmm. too long and like it didn't serve the narrative of the mm-hmm. song, but they were really nice. I liked them.
Yeah, I felt the same with my Relish song. I had all these notes and ideas and, you know, thoughts I wanted to convey in it, and they didn't make it. A lot of them didn't make it.
Outside of songwriting, you mentioned a type of brainstorming. Is there other types of writing that you, or like even other activities that you use to like hone in on that channel, perhaps?
I make a lot of lists.
Lists.
Mm-hmm.
I like songs that are lists. Those are some of my favorite kinds of songs. List songs?
List songs.
Yeah. And if you can make it rhyme, oh, so that's so satisfying. Hmm. A rhyming list? Come on. What's better? I don't know.
Sometimes if I'm doing a song that's about a specific thing, I'll make a list of things I would want to hear about in a song about X. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote a song about Greenpoint, the neighborhood mm-hmm. in Brooklyn some years ago. And I was like, well, what are all the things you would want in a song about Greenpoint? And it was like, well, like the Polish graffiti and like that lady selling tamales by the laundromat and like the G train and, you know, the like underground oil spill. And so like, most of those things made it into the song. And it was, you know, that you've sort of created your material to work from then, and then you can work from the list, and it's you've generated the material that you need.
Hmm. So I like the idea of having an actionable takeaway. And so I want to challenge any readers to write a song. What would your, like, input be? Like, if you're talking to someone who's never written a song, where would you... say to start?
Read the book.
You're talking about a song inspired by a book.
You could do that.
Just any song.
I'm opening it up, I should make it more specific.
It could be, yeah, I would say, yeah, choose a topic maybe. Mm-hmm. And it could be a book or it could be something else. And then I would say, you know, try both ways. Try starting from words and seeing what words come out. If that's easy for you, because sometimes I know a lot of songwriters where that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's easy for you, then, you know, throw out a bunch of words and then play around with them and listen to the rhythms in those words, and that might inform the music, or see what it feels like to sing a melody and with those words, and then you can start there. Or opposite, which is like start with the rhythm or a feeling in your body. Start with sometimes when I'm looking for a song, I'll have my window open and I'll hear a car go by. And then I'll hear what song is playing out of their radio. And it's just like the bass and the thumping. And then I'll be like, oh, that's a pretty neat rhythm. I'll use that. And then I'll just go from there. And so, yeah, start with like the sound, or start with the words.
Or rhyming list.
Or a rhyming list. Or just write things that rhyme.
I like to make a sort of brainstorming list of just stuff to sort of use as fodder, you know? And then sort of seeing what patterns maybe come out of that. I know a lot of people, and I do this too sometimes, you'll use like nonsense syllables or words that don't have anything to do with anything just to like get the rhythm going to make like a container, and then you can go back in and fill in the container with words that make sense. I like to use a rhyming dictionary. I use RhymeZone, which is a website, and I find it useful. Like if you have a line that you like, you can use a rhyming dictionary to see where it might lead. So, you know, you've written, you know, a sentence and you think it's cool and it has like a good rhythm to it, and then you're like, all right, like what are things that rhyme with the last word of that? Like, oh, like, you know, light rhymes with, I mean, that everything rhymes with light, but you know, light rhymes with white. Like you sort of see what it sparks, and you're like, oh, like it, like an image of like the sky, like when it's, you know, when the sun is coming up, and it's, I mean, I'm just sort of working. But like it can give you like visual inspiration, and that sort of tells you what your next step forward might be.
Right. Nice. This is Ink and Worm. We are live, Radio Free Brooklyn, recording from the basement of the Velo Bike Shop, and I'm talking with Elia and Susan, talking about writing songs and books. And I am going to end my shows with something that Tim Ferriss does on his blog, on his podcast, where he does a rapid fire. So I have a series of questions. We might get through two, we might get through all of them, but just like first thing that comes to your mind in response. Are you game?
Yeah, sure. I hope this isn't incriminating.
I hope there's something in my mind.
This is recorded and I will have it, you know, for time and all eternity. First question, what book have you not gotten around to reading?
War and Peace.
War and Peace.
Sex at Dawn.
Sex at Dawn. I said Moby Dick. Yeah, you'll hear
that
next
used to
week.
Be mine.
Yeah, you guys did it.
Well, yeah,
and
we did
some
it.
Great
it was so
songs.
Fun. Oh my god! And I really enjoyed it. I didn't know I was going to enjoy
loved
it.
I kept being like, "When are we going to get into the boring parts that people complain about?"
I know. Yeah,
because
totally,
the stuff
way.
About whaling is really fascinating.
It's really interesting and like really beautifully written.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the language was going to be hard for me to wrap my head around, but it wasn't at all.
Nice, great. Two.
I mean, didn't he say totes in there? He said totes.
Did he say totes?
All right, never mind.
What book do you remember your parents reading to you?
Oh, fairy tales.
Fairy tales. Oh, I love fairy tales.
Oh my God.
I love the directness. And then the witch did this, and then the king came in and did this, and I'm just like, and like things like, and then they chopped him up in 1,000 pieces and put him in a barrel, and then they took the barrel like down the river.
No,
it's
so,
just like
so primal. My dad actually incentivized me to start reading on my own with fairy tales. He would, I remember it was like the Three Bears or something, and he would stop and he'd be like, "What's that word?" And I'd be like, "Dad, like keep reading." And he'd be like, "No, like read that word," and I'd sound it out, and then he'd keep going. So
oh my
that's,
God.
It's an early reader tip.
I just realized after you asked that question that my parents didn't read to me.
Really?
No. They were too busy. We had just come to this country, and they were just like, learn English, and you know, of course, they said it in Korean, but like, and so I did. I learned English, and then I was learning to read, but I don't remember them reading to me at all. But I remember once learning how to read, just reading everything I could, and I remember, you know, loving fairy tales, but like they were like off working and stuff all the time, and so like I didn't, yeah. So I guess I read by myself.
Aww. You fell in love with it at some point, obviously.
Yeah, I always really loved stories. And then as I got older, a little older, you know, writing stories. And now songs about stories. But I didn't know
Full
that was
going to
happen.
All right, next question. What are rituals or routines related to your reading and writing? Do you have a favorite pencil or anything that's like consistent? You can say no.
Not really. I'm sort of really opportunistic.
Great. That's an easy answer. How do you find the books that you read?
It's almost like all random. People suggest things to me, and it sounds interesting, so I'll go and get it, or sign it for the book club.
I fall in love with books, with authors, and then I go through all their work.
Right, you're a completist.
Yeah. I am a completist. Some people, I have a small circle of trusted people who, like, if they say to read something, I always read it. Mm. I don't know. Books, they just appear. They appear in my house. Sometimes my mom gives me something, and I'll read it. Like,
so does this ever happen to you, Elia, or you, Swan, where it's like you get into a book, and then your mind is the world of the book, and then everything else in your life starts to become like the book? Or you start seeing other things.
Yeah,
like,
you
that
see.
Happened with me and Moby Dick. That happened, you know, it happens with book club books all the time.
Uh-huh. I just have a hard time when I'm in a book, and it's like a really powerful experience for me. I was reading Kate Atkinson on the train. So A God in Ruins is sort of like Slaughterhouse-Five as written by A.S. Byatt. It's like set in like wartime England, and like the language is beautiful, and you really care about the characters, and like there's all these like deep things coming up, and it's jumping around in time in these interesting ways. And so like I'd get off the train and go into my house having just been like reading that on the train, and then it was like I was sort of incapable of like communicating in a normal way with my partner when I got home. You know, he'd be like, "Hi, how's it?" And I'd be like,
Your head is reeling.
Yeah, and it's like there's so much to explain before I can talk to you.
That's funny.
That is funny. Let's see. One more good question. What is the best book you've read that you disagreed with?
That's a poser.
Yeah, put you on the spot.
It's like dead air.
I know.
Sorry.
Anyone can answer this question, it would be you guys. Just kidding.
Best book that I've read that I disagreed with.
I mean, it's a weird question because so much of what I read is not didactic in that way anyway. Like, I don't read a ton of nonfiction, and I don't know. Like, it's hard to disagree with a novel.
Yeah.
You know?
That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe.
I read a sort of like not very good YA fantasy book a couple weekends ago after Book Riot, and I just disagreed with a lot of the decisions that were made by the author. But you know, I don't want to like talk down.
Yeah, you don't want to smash something that's somebody's work. Definitely.
Right.
Anything forthcoming?
I'm going over the book club books. Yeah, I can't think of something that I disagreed with necessarily. I can't think of anything.
Sorry,
nothing in there. Yeah.
We were going to maybe have you guys sing songs, but we are done with our time.
Oh,
but
okay.
You guys, when's your next shows? When can somebody come find you?
Well, eliabisker.com has all of my shows for all of my various bands listed. The next thing, Sweet Soubrette's going to play a couple of tunes at the American Folk Art Museum on December 4th, which is a Friday, for the release of their CD compilation, on which we have a song. And Murder Ballad Mondays is up next on December 21st, which features 6 or 7 Brooklyn songwriters or bands doing songs about murder.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Bushwick Book Club has the taping of their first television show, our first television show, at the Manhattan Neighborhood Network Studios on 59th Street between 10th and 11th Avenues. That's December 3rd at 7:30. And then our first show of 2016 will be, I think it's January 21st. At Counter Revolution.
We have some time to verify, and I'll just post everything.
Yeah. And you can check my schedule at SusanHuangLaLaLa.com.
Then thank you guys so much for coming and being here and talking
about having us. It's really fun.
It's such a fun time talking about books on a Sunday.
Yeah.
We should do this all
Sunday
the time.
Afternoon,
we do this all
right?
The time.
Yeah.
Grab your tea and just like let's chat about books
Love
and things.
It.
Great. Thanks,
Yeah, my pleasure. And with that, I'll leave you with a word. Take it or leave it. Phantasmagoria.
Awesome.
I'll take it.
I'll take it, too. Phantasmagoria, that was a...
That was really fun.
Yeah, and that was also a record store.
Start a new season without a backup.